It wasn't the dream of every Jewish boy to be a shepherd when you grew up. Usually you did that because that's what your father did. That was the family business. And so that's what you got into. Somebody always had to work the night shift. And the night shift was not always the best shift to be a part of. I'm going to read for you Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. And I'm going to concentrate our thoughts this morning on the shepherds and the angel's message to the shepherds. This very familiar passage. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinus was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. She gave birth to the firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So I visited that site several years ago. And it's really, you know, you see the nice nativity scene with it. It looks like kind of an open barn. Well, it was really the inns look more like the open barn. It was actually a cave is what it was. And you go down in this cave and see where Jesus was born. Our tour guide was very sensitive to all of the commercialization and all that goes on. And so he would say, you know, the chances of this happening here is probably pretty limited. But when it came to the birthplace of Jesus, he said there's a 90% chance that that's where Jesus was actually born. So it's probably the right place. It didn't have the huge nativity church built up around it at the time. It was very humble and very back in the, unawares and kind of in the back area where the cattle went to get out of the rain. Verse 8, in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there was born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. So the story unfolds with the baby being born in a manger in Bethlehem. Of course, the place, Bethlehem, was predicted and was very significant in this whole thing. But here you are, you're a shepherd. Imagine yourself as one of the shepherds out in the field, just outside of Bethlehem. We think that the sheep that you're guarding may have been used specifically for the sacrifice in the temples. And so they had to be kept very, without blemish. You had to be very careful how you kept them and how they're developed and all of that, because you couldn't sacrifice them if they had a blemish on them. So you think that's kind of what's going on. And you're stuck with a night shift. Back in the day, I used to work in a mental hospital, and I would work the night shift at times. The one thing about the night shift is you want it to be boring. Okay, you want nothing to happen. They're supposed to be asleep. If there's some activity, usually it's trouble. The sheep is the same way. You're out there, and it's all you can do to stay awake, and you want it to be boring, because if you, you know, you kind of have to, you have to stay awake, but you have to watch the shadows, make sure there's no wolves. You have to listen for the sheep, because if sheep start, so if they start getting restless and thinking, and you know, there's some reason why there's restless, maybe there's something going on. You don't dare count the sheep. What happens when you count sheep? You go to sleep. You can't count the sheep. So you've got to be awake. And so you're there just trying to stay awake. And you have to realize that this is Bethlehem. This is before streetlights. And you're out in the field. And you have this glorious sky that is as black as can be. And then you see all the stars. And just sit there. And that's what keeps you awake. You just, oh, man, alive. This is amazing. And I wonder after a while if you get tired of it, kind of, you know, all the, you know, just the stars I see every night. But they're there. And so you're there, you're sitting there, buying your own business, trying to stay awake, and then BAM! An angel comes. Have you seen an angel before? Not out in the field you have it, not anywhere you have it. And it glows, you know, the angel is there, and would you be frightened if you're in that circumstance? That's why the first thing the angel says is, do not be afraid. For I bring you good tidings. It says here, it's interesting. So the angels, so we think this is probably Gabriel. We don't know that, but we think he is. And remember, he's getting these frequent flyer miles because he's been down to see Elizabeth or Zacharias, and then Mary, and then Joseph, and he's now with the shepherds, and he's got a couple more trips he's still got to make. So he's getting all these frequent flyer miles that he's stacking up for wherever he wants to go. And so, but it says here, it's interesting here, because we've seen the angel three times already. But it says here, the angel stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. I don't know what that means, specifically. But the glory of the Lord has not been there since Ezekiel chapter 10, when the glory left the temple. Amazing. Amazing. So they're just taken back and they're just shocked at all that was going on here. Then the angel gives this message. There are four elements of the message that are significant. The first is it contains great news with great joy. The news would change the world. Everything would be different from now on. Even to the point when we look back on, even to the point that our calendars are all changed based on that date when Jesus came. Now we say that, you know, the time of Christ actually is probably more about 4 BC, but all of it comes, all of it changes, dependent upon. And this message impacted every aspect of society in every corner of the world. I just finished reading Sherwood Wirt's memoir of his time with Billy Graham. Sherwood Wirt is the one who founded Decision Magazine, and then was with Billy Graham and many things. And he commented, he's amazed as he writes about Billy Graham's life, just how the impact of the gospel, this message that happened, birth happened 2,000 years ago, and the death happened 2,000 years, is continuing to change the world. And so with Billy Graham, people come night after night after night, and he made, you know, God was making a difference, and people, it's great news of great joy. The second is, announces the Savior and a sovereign. For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. It's significant, and the prediction that was given to Zacharias was even, you know, the son that is coming is going to be Savior of the world. The fact that he died on the cross is not a happenstance of history. It's not a reflection of just, you know, that's the way the things worked out. That was the intent on coming, is that he would come and be born, and he would come intentionally to bring salvation to the world, to be the Savior of the world. Then who's Christ the Lord? That talks about the sovereign part of it. He came as a Savior and a sovereign. This is the long-anticipated Messiah. There are false messiahs that would come around in that day. This is the long-anticipated sovereign. And here he comes, and he's making a difference. He came with the intent to provide salvation and to bring freedom from the bondage of sin. Then it says there's a sign to give. The sign is that you would have a baby.
This way's out, man.
The door's this way, Jonathan.
Hey, Jonathan. I got that man out. No, you're not being respectful.
I believe.
Thank you. So the significance is their sign is given. Now, we would expect a sign to be a flashing neon light. They didn't have neon lights, of course, but we're looking for something major to happen. Rather than a simple baby lying in a manger wrapped in cloth. The sign of the Savior coming to earth should have been at least born in royalty or in the king's palace with purple, you know, clothing on and with attendants, all that, and just that that all that would be taking place, and that they would be a major sign that God was there, and yet it's the simplicity of it. The simplicity of it. Born in a cave. There's a cartoon that's going around now about the three wise men. They bought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, followed by the three wiser women who brought diapers, a casserole, and plenty of formula. That's not true, but anyway, I thought that was funny. But you would think that he'd be in royal robes, attended by attendants, and the luxury, and yet the hallmark was the simplicity and the humbleness. Then he predicts peace among men, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. The whole purpose of the Bible is to bring glory to God. The whole purpose of what Jesus was coming to bring glory to God. The birth of Jesus was primarily designed to bring glory to God. So that we would recognize through our salvation, we would recognize who he is and his place in our life and his love for us and his desire to have us as his children. To recognize our sinfulness, to recognize the ability or the provision he made so that we could have our sins forgiven through the death of Christ on the cross. Then we see the shepherds' obedience. They went to Bethlehem and they were there, and it's interesting. You think of, there's Mary and Joseph and the baby, and they're there in this cave with their little baby. The shepherds come in, and this is what it says they did. It says they came in a hurry. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. The shepherds come in, and there's Mary and Joseph, and the shepherds are saying, you would not believe what happened to us in the field. You wouldn't believe it, but the angel came, the angel said this, and the angel said there's a Savior born. And Joseph and Mary said, whoa. You know, we knew it was coming. The angel told us that. But then have these independent shepherds coming in and telling, this is the story that we heard from the angels. And you could just see Mary and Joseph. And it says here, what did Mary do? She treasured these things in her heart. These things, pondering them in her heart. She's just back and listening and saying, God, this is you. You have your hand. Our child is to be the Savior of the world. Then it says they went on and declared it. All who heard it wondered at the things which he had told them by the shepherds. And you can see the shepherds going into Bethlehem and saying, you would not believe what we saw tonight, last night. They went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. So as we come today, we celebrate Christmas, and we have gatherings today and tomorrow, and just times with family, and some of you have had them this past week with family. It's special to think back and say, this was not a happenstance event. This is God declaring who he was for us and declaring to us his love. So that for God so loved the world that he gave his son. Father, we thank you for being able to celebrate this together. Not the hubbub of Christmas and all the stuff that goes with it, but just the simple fact that in that manger laid a little boy. A little boy who is going to grow up to be our Savior. Thank you for your love for us. The God became man and dwelt among us. Help us never to forget that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a Merry Christmas. Enjoy your celebration and God bless you.